Sabres are off for a couple days after a couple of fun wins, and the trade deadline is a little bit less than a week away. So just a little mid-season discussion about what we have to look forward to next season for the Sabres and when this team's going to get good, as it's fun to daydream about that after the last couple of games. That is coming up here on the Locked On Sabres podcast, as well as who does Kevin Adams have in mind when Darren Dreger says he's searching for a top-end defenseman to pair with Owen Power. I'll try to find out who Adams might have in mind coming up here on the show.
You're Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase flying solo on the Tuesday show of the podcast. Thanks everybody for pushing us up. We're at number 6 on the Apple Podcast chart. So shoot those retweets out, like and subscribe on both YouTube or wherever you may be listening to the audio version of the show. And hopefully we can get into the top 5. We've never been top 10. I want to see how far we can keep climbing. A lot of fun stuff planned for today's show. I do want to try to figure out, that if you missed it, TSN's Darren Dreger said on Insider Trading that the Sabres and Kevin Adams have let other teams know that they are in the market for a top-end defenseman to pair with Owen Power. I have a couple of ideas for who that could be. And I do kind of want to just have a discussion about next year. We got a couple of days here. The Sabres are off until Thursday. So this week is the West Coast trip. Sabres played in the Heritage Classic on Sunday. They will have the game against Edmonton on Thursday night. Then they're in Calgary on Friday night. And then they are in Vancouver for a late one on Sunday night. So we'll get to all of that coming up here on the show in just a little bit. But I do want to start today's show with the news that Austin Matthews, Maple Leafs superstar centerman, has been suspended by the NHL's Department of Player Safety for 2 games. We spent a large portion of Monday's show on what should happen to Matthews, what we thought would happen to Matthews, and his being a star player in the league. He is number one in the NHL in goals with 45. His being the Lady Bing winner from last season. I thought that there was a chance that Matthews was going to get away with just a fine, a slap on the hand, and that was it. But the Department of Player Safety, they really stuck to their guns on this one. That was a dangerous play. It was a predatory play. And Matthews is damn lucky that Rasmus Dahlin did not get injured on that play, because his suspension could have been, and maybe should have been, for a lot longer. Now, it being Matthews, it could have been even longer. I think maybe if Brad Marchand does that, it is a longer suspension. Maybe it's 6 games if it's Brad Marchand. If it's somebody else that has a history with the NHL DOPS, then maybe it was going to be longer. I think just because Matthews got 2 games doesn't necessarily mean that he did not get the benefit of the doubt in some way from the NHL. I think he's been a gentlemanly player. I mean, isn't that the description of the Lady Bing Trophy? But that play was so, so bad, so dangerous. He went for the kill. He really went for the kill. I thought it looked like he was trying to break the guy's neck. I mean, it was a reactionary play too. So I don't need to rehash the whole thing, but it was so clear, right? Wasn't it so clear that needed to be a suspension and needed to be a multi-game suspension? So he's going to miss the 2 games coming up for the Maple Leafs. And they're in a race right now. They're trying to avoid playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are almost dead when it comes to that Atlantic Division race for first place. They might drop down into the wild card position, but for now, they're sitting in that third spot. They're kind of entrenched, and maybe it's more likely they go down than they go up. But Matthews is going to miss a couple of games there. But good on the NHL. You know, like that Department of Player Safety gets a lot of criticism. I've kind of laid off them a little bit as of late. Because while, yes, they still come out on the light side for the most part on a lot of these plays, I don't think they deserve as much criticism as they get. And they get only criticism. It's very rare that you'll see anybody, even like, you know, the typical old school hockey guys that want to defend everybody in the league. don't defend the Department of Player Safety. And I feel like they've strengthened their suspensions a little bit in the last year or two. They're not to the point where they used to be when Brendan Shanahan was at the helm, but the owners got after Shanahan when he was suspending all their players. So I'm not sure he'll ever return to that, but I thought they did a good job here giving Matthews the gate for two games. And, you know, one more day later, still nothing on Dahlin. I'm holding my breath that he is going to come away with some sort of injury from that play, because it's so hard to believe, right, that he didn't get injured from that cross check. But it looks like we're in the clear, at least for now, on Dahlin. So really the main topic of today's show, I kind of want to figure out what we're doing here and what the timeline is. We got a couple of days until their next game. So I just kind of want to take a couple of minutes and kind of figure that out, because, you know, that it's fun to daydream, right, about this team right now. I mean, winning the way they did against Vegas on Thursday, beating Jack Eichel and the individuals that did it, Alex Tuck, Peyton Krebs, even Olofsson. And then Sunday in the Heritage Classic, they beat the Leafs for the second time in a week. And there's Peyton Krebs again, scoring two goals. There's Rasmus Dahlin, you know, playing another great game. And I think it's very easy right now, and this could go away pretty quickly, so I think I kind of want to jump on this opportunity to kind of daydream about next year and even years after that. It feels good right now to think about and talk about the Sabres because of the last two games and because of this youth movement, because Cousins is giving you moments that are making you feel good, and Krebs is doing the same thing, and Tuck is doing it, and Thompson and Dahlin. I could just run down the list of all these guys that are littered throughout the roster that means something to the organization. You know, Cousins runs Austin Matthews after Matthews cross-checks Dahlin in the neck. That's Dylan Cousins doing that. That is somebody that means something to the organization. It would have been a lot different for me if your token fourth-line rent-a-cop like John Hayden had been the one that had done something about Matthews and gone after him, because that guy doesn't mean anything to the organization. Cousins does. So the fact that he was the one that went out and ran Matthews at center ice, I think that means something. I think Krebs developing the way he's done, I think that means something. I think a lot of these young pieces are kind of fun to daydream about right now as to what they'll be next year and the year after, and how long is it really going to be until they're good? Isn't that the question that we're all thinking about right now? We're all thinking about it. We feel good right now after the last two games, but we're all asking ourselves that question. When are they going to get good? Because they're giving you reasons to be hopeful that it is going to happen. So if I can start to convince myself that it is going to happen, the next follow-up is, when is it going to happen? NHL Watcher on Twitter. It's a good hockey follow for hockey fans on Twitter. A lot of quote tweets of, you know, like the Canadian guys when they're doing radio in Calgary, and why would I be listening to Calgary radio? And they might say something interesting. They might even say something about the Sabres. And NHL Watcher does a really good job of kind of passing that along to everybody. He tweeted just kind of on his own thought, that he thinks the Sabres have passed the Ottawa Senators in terms of their rebuild. And then he followed that up with, I could see the Sabres being next year's Detroit Red Wings. And I looked at that. I thought, all right, do we want that? Is that good? Is that progress if they're the Detroit Red Wings next year? Detroit this year, they've had a couple of young individuals kind of explode. Moritz Seider, Lucas Raymond, they're both in the Calder Trophy race. They've both been great. Raymond up front, Seider on the back end. Top prospects that are playing amazing this season. But Detroit is 24, 28, and 7. That is 55 points. That is 19 points out of the playoffs. That is below 80 points. And I think I want better than that from the Sabres next year. That might be a lot to ask for. I don't know. But in the NHL nowadays, I don't really think it is. Just because they haven't done it in a long time doesn't mean that it should be a lot to ask for. I'd like to see this team do better than what Detroit's doing this year. 19 points out of the playoffs? How about above 80? Can I get above 80 points? You know, with a lot of the potential that is, again, littered throughout this roster, I can't get half of them to take a step from last year to this year. I can't make enough additions in net and up front that are going to help me along to be more competent next season. I feel like I want to shoot higher than being the Red Wings. I would not take being the Detroit Red Wings next year. That's not saying that I expect this team, or even could it happen? Sure. But I'm not expecting this team to make the playoffs, nor am I going to criticize them if they don't. I might not even expect them to be in a playoff race, but a step from this year to next year, I think, is within the window of opportunity. And I think it's right to expect 80 plus points next year. If you're on the right track, if we believe that they're on the right track right now with all their young pieces, then if you're on the right track, you jump from bottom of the barrel to close to 500, if not 500, because NHL 500 is not real 500. They could win 30 games, 25 games, but if you get enough overtime losses stacked up in there, you can play 500 hockey. So that is kind of, you know, where I see them in terms of expectations. Now, what would the roster look like? Because that, of course, plays into what next year's expectations will be and what we can realistically believe that they're going to do, what their ceiling is going to be next year. So break down the roster a little bit. And within that, I want to try to figure out who this defenseman is that Darren Dreger reported earlier in the week that Kevin Adams is searching for to pair with Owen Power. Owen Power is going to be with the Sabres at the end of this year and into next year. And Dreger says that Kevin Adams, Sabres general manager, has let the other GMs know he is searching for a top-end veteran defenseman to help show Power the way for when he breaks through and enters the NHL. I want to try to pin down who that player is, and we'll kind of go through the lineup and try to see what we got for the Sabres next year as we kind of have a futuristic type conversation in between games here on the Lockdown Sabres podcast. We'll get to all that in just 1 second. It's that time of year again. College basketball's tournament is finally upon us. From the latest odds, contests, player props, betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, hockey, UFC, boxing, live betting, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Jody Biasi back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Let's try to round out where the Sabres are tracking towards for next year's lineup. Two great games in a row, and we're all left wondering, when can they get good? And the first step is, okay, could it be next year? Well, let's try to break down next year and figure out if they could get good next year. What is the lineup going to look like? I think the Sabres' current top line, you can reasonably expect to be back as the number one line next year. Maybe they're not all together, but I think Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, Jeff Skinner have played well enough to earn being together, to have that camaraderie, to have that continuity that goes into next year and have them continue to work together. Now, this is where it gets interesting. What else do we got? And by the way, down the middle, what else do we got? Because, you know, this is not just for next year, but do the Sabres have the right build down the middle right now? Center, we will all admit, most of us will admit, is the most important position. It's why the tank existed in the first place, because it was McDavid and Eichel, and you needed those franchise-defining centermen. And as the Sabres currently are going through their rebuild, I got three guys that are all candidates to be number one centers on this team. Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, and Peyton Krebs. I wonder, could the Sabres become a consistent playoff team with having three number two centers and not really having a bona fide, legit franchise number one? Or do they need one of those three guys to step up and become that franchise-changing number one bona fide centerman? The thing is, they're all kind of even for me for that. I don't know who the most likely would be of that trio to become a legit number one center. I actually threw a poll out at Locked On Sabres, and it was right down the middle. I asked, in 3 years, who is the Sabres' number one center? Tage Thompson, the first option. 25.8% of the vote. Dylan Cousins in second, 28.6% of the vote. Sorry, second option. He's the number one in terms of the vote. The third option, Peyton Krebs, 17.7% of the vote. So he's in the bottom, but not by a lot. And then someone else was an option. Anyone else, it's not Thompson, Cousins, or Krebs. 27.9% of the vote. I got a lot of Shane Wright comments, by the way. The presumptive number one overall pick in the 2022 draft. Sabres have to win the lottery, though, to get that guy. So can they win that way? Can they win having three number two centermen? I mean, look around the league. Carolina is in the playoffs. Sebastian Aho. Pittsburgh's got Crosby. The Rangers might be a good team for this. The Rangers are in the playoffs. They don't have a legit number one center, so that's one. Florida's got Barkov. They're not right. Tampa's got a bunch of guys. Stamkos to the bat. Braden Point. Toronto's got guys. Of course, Matthews. Boston's got Bergeron. Washington's got Backstrom and Kuznetsov. They're more number two centermen at this point. I'm willing to put Washington in that mix. Who else? Colorado's got McKinnon. St. Louis has O'Reilly, but he's having a down year. Maybe St. Louis. St. Louis doesn't have a legit number one center this year. Is that blasphemy? I'm gonna put St. Louis in that group. Minnesota. Minnesota doesn't have a legit number one center. That's four. Calgary doesn't either. Sean Monahan and Elias Lindholm. I'll put them in that group. So I got five. LA's got Kopitar, so there they got one a guy. Edmonton's got McDavid. Nashville has Johansson. That's not right. Six. And then Vegas has Eichel. So of the 16 playoff teams, six don't really have a legit number one centerman. And then the Islanders aren't going to make the playoffs this year, but they made the playoffs multiple times in a row without having a legit number one centerman. So I think you can win that way. I think you could win with those guys. But what's coming after that Thompson Tuck Skinner line? I went on a tangent there. Cousins. You got Oposo and Krebs. That's a pretty good top six, isn't it? It's okay. If Krebs and Cousins and even maybe Thompson take a step forward, Thompson might be okay to not take a step forward, but the other two, Cousins and Krebs, got to take steps forward. So now what about my bottom six? Cody Eakin should not be a part of this organization going forward. Casey Mittelstadt is a part of the mix. Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka. I think Quinn is definitely here this year. I think Jack Quinn is definitely here this year. Paterka, I'm not sure about. He might be closer to 50-50, but I think I'd bet on him being here. So that's a couple more kids that I've got in the lineup. I've got Olofsson with some scoring ability, of course, and then I've got Asplund, and then I've got an opening. Maybe that could be a Vinny Hino-Stroza type, just a token veteran one-year guy. So is that not enough veterans, though? I don't know. That's a very, very, very young lineup. Very young. But if they all grow together and Quinn gives me a spark right out of the gates, there's a lot of potential out of that group. So I think 80-plus points would be in the window for that forward group. How about the defensemen? Dahlin and Joakim Haru, okay. I think Samuelson and so the sixth guy, I'm skipping over the second pair for a reason right now because I want to get to that power pairing in a second and who his partner will be. Samuelson. And then I think Samuelson's definitely here. Matias Samuelson is in the top six. He's earned it. The other guy, Pesek, Fitzgerald, Bryson. I want to bring Pesek back on a one-year deal. And I think Fitzgerald and Bryson are kind of betweeners, like AHL, NHL, seventh defenseman type guys. So that's four. And then I got power. And then I got another guy. And I want to try to figure out when we come back in a second here, who that partner will be for Owen Power. And then in net, Lukanen is one of the goalies, right? Lukanen has got to be one of the goalies. And then they have a ton of money. They're going to have to reach the cap floor. I think some of that money will go towards a veteran goaltender that can pair with Lukanen and allow Devin Levi some time to maybe groom in Rochester, allow Eric Portillo to stay in Michigan. Ville Husso, I hate to go back to St. Louis for their top goaltender because we did that a couple years ago with Carter Hutton. But I think Ville Husso is having a really strong year for the Blues and has been a lot better than Jordan Binnington as their number one. I think he's a good idea for the Sabres on like a 2-3 year deal where they overpay him a little bit because they can, because they're $30 million under the cap and they need a goaltender. So I kind of like the idea of Husso for the Sabres next year. So that's kind of what the roster will look like, except for that other defense pairing. Owen Power is going to be here. He's going to be here at the end of the year. Who will his partner be? Kevin Adams is searching for a top-end defenseman to show him the way. I've got some ideas for who that player could be when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. But before we do that, I want to tell you to head over to rockauto.com. I just had to replace my windshield wipers. I went to multiple different brick and mortar stores and I could not find these things anywhere. And it's not like I have that crazy of a car where you would think that I couldn't find wipers anywhere. All a waste of time. Went right to rockauto.com, found it in 2 seconds, and I got them, you know, a couple of days later and easy to put on, and I'm all set. And of course, you get the deals pricing wise at Rock Auto by skipping the chain store. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%? It could even be 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, and it's $216 from Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Joe DiBiase on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. On Monday, March 21st, 6 days away at 3:30 Eastern Time, tune in to Locked On Fantasy Hockey's live deadline reaction show to get all the on-ice fantasy and betting analysis you need from hosts Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone, with appearances from our roster of local experts. And you can catch live shows throughout the network as well. Who is this defenseman? Who is this defenseman that Darren Dreger says Kevin Adams is searching for? Adams has let other GMs know in the league that he wants a top-end defenseman that has experience, that has leadership qualities to kind of help Owen Power transition into the NHL. I think this is a good idea, by the way. There's not really a natural in-house candidate, especially with Power being a left-shot defenseman. The Sabres are starved for right-shot defensemen. They are set on the left side. They've got Owen Power, they've got Rasmus Dahlin, they've got Matias Samuelsson, and they've got Jacob Bryson. The right side, they've got Henry Okiharju. And the next guy you get to that's under contract for next year is Casey Fitzgerald, and I like Casey Fitzgerald so far, but I'm not counting on him to be in the NHL. Maybe he's a call-up guy, maybe he's the seventh defenseman, or maybe he can earn a job out of camp, but I'm not writing him in ink into the Sabres lineup for 2022. Who's going to pair with Power? Could it be Okiharju? Don Granato seems set on keeping Okiharju with Dahlin. And maybe he changes his mind over the next year or so. But for now, he's got Okiharju with Dahlin. Who's going to be with Power? Well, we have our answer. They don't have it. And Kevin Adams knows it. And Darren Dreger reports from TSN that Adams is searching for a top-end defenseman that has leadership qualities. Now let's try to put those two together. We need a guy that's been around the block, that has been in the league for at least a few years, veteran type, and high end. He's got to qualify as a high end defenseman. So my first thought for how to figure out who this guy was to go to TSN's trade bait list. Who are guys that could be available at this deadline? The first name I thought of was Jacob Chychrun, but then I remembered, oh, he's not a right shot defenseman, so he doesn't fit for that. Jacob Chychrun, star defenseman for the Arizona Coyotes. He is the number one player on TSN's trade bait list. He doesn't fit. All right, let me just categorize by right shot defenseman. Uh-oh, there's nobody on this list really that fits. Almost nobody. I think I found one and maybe two or three that do. But it's funny, you go down that trade bait list and it's like, all right, right shot defenseman, high end, that can play with Owen Power. Who do we got? First name you get to, Colin Miller. Okay, damn it, that doesn't fit. He's on the Sabres now, and they're going to trade him. All right, who's the next guy? Number 34, Rasmus Ristolainen. Damn it, that doesn't fit. First of all, it's not even updated because he re-signed with the Flyers, so he's not getting dealt. And two, obviously, if he was available, Sabres aren't doing that anyway for obvious reasons. Then I get to a guy that I think makes sense, and maybe to me makes sense the most. Damon Severson of the New Jersey Devils. Not a household name. Not to everyone. To casual hockey fans. If you're a legit NHL fan, you know Severson. But not an all-star. Not a superstar defenseman. 1 year left on his contract after this year. $4.2 million. He is 27 years old. And by the way, he's 38th on TSN's trade bait list. Frank Saravelli of Daily Faceoff has his own trade bait list. And he's number 14 on Saravelli's list. Severson, right shot, a good skating defenseman, a good puck-moving defenseman. He's an offensive defenseman, I think, by trait, is if the way I kind of think of him. But, you know, we're talking 20-plus minutes a night. He's averaged over 23 minutes a night 4 years in a row for the New Jersey Devils, really as a top-pair defenseman for them. We're talking, you know, 33 points in 57 games this year, 21 points in 56 games last year, 31 points in 69 games the year before that. Decent size, 6'2", 205. You know, he's not running people like Scott Stevens. He's not drilling people into the boards, but physical enough. But again, more so his qualities are skating and moving the puck up ice. And I think, you know, the fact that he's been in the league for 8 years now, I kind of like it. It fits all around. I would consider him to be high end. I like the style of player that he is. He might be available because the Devils, he's on the trade bait list for a reason. I was trying to do a search on, like, why is he available? And the best I got was a couple of blog sites that are like, the Devils aren't confident they're going to re-sign him, and maybe they want to do it a year ahead of time and they're sellers, but they don't have a lot of UFAs. So Severson could be a guy that they get a lot of calls on. Severson for a first-round pick? The Sabres got three of them. I'd love to do the Panthers pick. The Panthers pick's going to be late. I think the Vegas pick could end up being in the teens. How about the Florida pick for Damon Severson? Would that be enough? Do I have to throw in a prospect? Maybe some other throw-in somewhere? I think Severson is very interesting. Now, when I was reading about that blog, by the way, on Severson, if you're interested in his advanced numbers, they're good. Corsi 4 percentage. I'll read this straight from, it's an article by Alex Chavansi of the Hockey Writers. Overall, Severson's underlying metrics are impressive. He has a Corsi 4 percentage of 52.07%. That is good. And expected goals 4 percentage of 52.8%. Also good. Since the start of 2019-20, Severson has an expected goals above replacement, XGAR, of 22.6. That ranks 29th among all defensemen in the NHL. So we're talking about a guy that by the underlying numbers, the advanced metrics, he is a number one defenseman in the NHL, but he's a low-end number one defenseman in the NHL. So I think because he's not a big name, but he's got these really nice numbers, he's a good skater, good puck mover, I think first-round pick might be something else and change. This guy fits. And again, the age is perfect because he's only 27. He should have many years left, and he also fits the quality of 8 years in the league and being able to help own power line. I know nothing about whether or not he's a leader or not, so you'd have to ask Kevin Adams whether or not he thinks he qualifies for that. He checks that box. But Severson is my favorite idea of the guys that I was trying to figure out who could fit as Owen Power's first real defense partner in the NHL. Mark Pesek was also in the trade bait list. I like the idea of bringing him back on the third pair, not with Power. And I don't think he qualifies as high end anyway. PK Subban is interesting. He's a UFA at the end of the year, 32 years old. Now, Dreger at the end of his little blurb said, if they don't get it done at the trade market, that you can expect them to go after someone in the UFA market. And that could be Subban. Maybe they try to trade for him now and get him signed. Maybe they wait for the deadline or they wait for free agency and try to sign him. Subban is 32. He'll be going into his age 33 season. And I don't want to say he's shot. He's not the player he once was. I mean, that's for sure. He is not the player he once was. Is he serviceable? Serviceable might be the best I could do for him. Is he high end? I think the answer to that question is no. So you have the veteran aspect of box that checks for Subban, but you don't have high end. And then the other name on the trade bait list that maybe makes a little sense is Jeff Petrie, but age doesn't fit with Jeff Petrie. 34 years old. He is 7 years older than Damon Severson. Petrie, though, he's got term, 3 years left in his contract at $6.25 million. This year, he's got 14 points in 52 games, a huge drop off from last year to this year. He was coming off four straight seasons of 40 plus points and double digit goals, and he is way down this year. Montreal's a bad team, and he has maybe suffered because of that. So again, I got the veteran part, and I maybe have the leadership part, and I got the right shot defenseman part, but do I have the high-end part? I think I probably don't. Finally, to figure out who this player might be, if we escape the trade market and go to, well, is there someone in free agency they could sign? Chris Letang's a free agent. No way he's coming here. John Klingberg is a free agent. Possible. He's 29 years old. The age is better than, say, Petrie. I probably have to way overpay him. So Klingberg, and is he the leader guy that they're talking about? I don't want to fall victim of giving a guy, not giving a guy a leadership quality because he's European. But I feel like GMs in this league do that. GMs do that. And I don't know what Kevin Adams feels in terms of whether Klingberg is a leader. Chris Weidman is not high end. Justin Braun's not high end. Justin Schultz, Anton Strahlman. As you can see, the list thins out, and it thins out quick. So I think, kind of going through this exercise here, who is the defenseman that Kevin Adams wants to trade for that, one, could be available, two, is a right shot defenseman, three, qualifies as high end, four, isn't overly old, you know, into his mid-30s, five, what am I missing here, five, has been in the league long enough to have the leadership qualities you'd want, 8 years in the league. I think Damon Severson is Kevin Adams' guy. So I'm just throwing it out there. I think Damon Severson fits for what Adams likes. I like the idea a lot, and maybe that's a name to watch out for in the next week. Or maybe they do it at, you know, in the offseason or something, but I think Severson is a good idea to pair with Owen Power. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of the Locked On Sabres podcast. I've got our next episode, five trades that the Buffalo Sabres should make at the trade deadline. Five different players that the Sabres should either trade away or trade for. I got five ideas to bring to you on our next show. And after that, we'll preview Sabres and Oilers, as that's the next game on the schedule, Thursday at 9 o'clock. So thanks, everybody, for listening to Locked On Sabres today. Again, if you're listening on whatever app you're listening to or on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Give us a review, too, or a rating. A five-star rating would be greatly appreciated. Leave us a review, because those definitely go a long way for the show and to continue growing it. So follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. The podcast counts at Locked On Sabres, and Jordan is at JR Hanskin. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you tomorrow here on Locked On Sabres.